Every once in a while, it's nice to kind of recall what we learned in our religion classes, or if you went to Catholic schools. But you might remember in those classes that our faith has seven sacraments, right? We know that we have seven sacraments. We have three sacraments of initiation, that which is baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. And we have two sacraments of healing, which are confessions and anointing of the sick. And we have two sacraments of vocation or service called marriage and holy orders. Of course, if this was a class, I would have had you tell me how many you know first, which is always fun to find out, because a lot of times people say funerals, and funerals are not a sacrament. You receive communion, one of the sacraments, at a funeral, but itself is not a sacrament. But anyway, there are seven. And sacraments are so significant to our faith that it's one of the things that separates us from other denominations of Christianity. Many of the Protestants don't believe in the seven sacraments. And for us, it's kind of the center of our lives. Believe it or not, even though maybe you haven't even thought about all the seven sacraments. From the old Baltimore Catechism that some of you maybe remember or grew up on, I could probably raise your hand if you even know the definition that you memorized. About what a sacrament is, right? Because the Baltimore Catechism says a sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. So I don't know how many of you thought that, remembered that. But anyway, the Catechism now says is the sacraments are efficacious signs of grace, effective. They effect something. They make something happen. Instituted by Christ and entrusted to the church by which divine life is dispensed to us. That's the definition anyway, so get an idea. Sacraments do what they say they do. One of the things that's for sure is that our faith looks out at the world sacramentally. You know, that's the way we see things. You know, maybe not all Catholics in the church, but at least the Catholic Church sees it that way. It means to say that things and actions kind of point to God. And that God works through them to give us the graces we need to live a holy life. So bread and wine become the body and blood of Christ, not just symbolically, but they become the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism uses holy water that really washes away. It doesn't just symbolically look like it does. We believe it really washes away original sin and all personal sin. It makes us adopted sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. Confirmation is that through the laying on of hands, we are anointed with the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity. So through bread and wine and water and oil and hands and the words that are used, these symbols become more than just symbols, but God's work through them. So they point to a deeper reality. Hopefully you realize, I was like, what is this, religion class? I'm setting you all up, okay? So hang on. They point to a different reality, and they make things happen. And then, of course, we have sacramentals. Sacramentals are like sacraments, but they're not the seven big sacraments. So they're like sacramentals, and we have them all the time, right? Crucifixes and statues, holy water, blessings, novenas, incense, scapulas. They also point to God and help us kind of connect with God. They move us beyond the created reality, so we don't just look at the plaster of this or the marble of the statue, but they help us connect to our Father in heaven and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And sacramentals take us beyond this world. Music can do that as well. Right? Beautiful music kind of helps us get beyond the music itself to something that's of God. They are sacramentals that point us and they connect us to God. So the seven sacraments and sacramentals are the way we look at the world, using created world that God then uses for us to get back to God. Right? And as Catholics, it's because we say that though the sacraments and the sacramentals, we say that the church itself is a kind of sacrament. Because we are to point to and be signs of Christ in the world. So you see where I'm going with all of that. Because today, in the gospel, we have John the Baptist. And of course, the big thing John the Baptist does is he points out who God is. Right? He points out who Jesus really is. With his very famous words, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." So of course, what's pretty amazing is how these words are what we say after consecration at Mass, right? Right before you receive communion, the priest takes hold of the body of Christ. He raises it before you all and he says, the same words that John the Baptist says in the Bible, "Behold the Lamb of God." We didn't just make up those words. Almost all the words of Mass you can find in the Bible. So here's one section that you find in the Bible. The priest takes the body of Christ and says the words of John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb." And then we all state our unworthiness to receive communion. But only God then makes us worthy by his word. So the gospel is how John the Baptist points out who Jesus is. And he always says that his life was about pointing toward Jesus. And that is who we are supposed to be in this world as well. When we are at our best as God's holy people, when we are at our best, people can't help but see us pointing to Jesus. They really can't help but see Christ. And when we're not at our best, we say we conceal or we hide Jesus from others rather than reveal him. So now I think our culture has done a great job in getting us to stop pointing to Jesus. I mean, we've done a great job ourselves by doing that. Some of the things, but the culture. You know, there's a story. I remember when I was doing CPE in the hospital. Now, CPE is clinical pastoral education. Okay, we'll have to take it as when we're studying to become priests and even after we're priests, where ministers of all faiths, we go into the hospital and we take classes there about how to do pastoral ministry so that when you're in the hospital and you want to speak to the priest, that I do the right thing, right? I'm taught how to kind of handle you in the hospital bed. And so we work in the hospital, and then after that, we all get together. So they're all different faiths. We all get together, and then we present how we talked to someone, how we did some pastoral ministry. We do what's called the verbatim, where I'm supposed to recall the conversation, change all the names, but then they then critique me and tell me what I did well and what I didn't do so well, you know, and why did I ask that question, you know, and so they critique a ministry. So I had visited this man and he had a brain tumor. So I was right at the beginning of my ministry, you know, so I'm beginning to, and he was really angry. He was at the stage of grief when he finds out, you know, so he's at the angry stage. And he had cards on his wall. And I still remember I walked in, he had some get well cards on his wall. And they were all from his church. He was a Protestant and we had to go visit everybody in the on our floor. And I had urology and neurology. So on the same floor. So it's kind of fun. Anyway, he was there. That's why he had neurology. I had the brain tumor. And so I went, I just found that out, by the way. So I saw on the wall on his church, he was that his pastor had sent him a card, a get well card, and I thought, boy, I haven't done that. I gotta start sending you guys get well cards when you're in the hospital. But anyway, and some of his parishioners, and he told me that these were from his church. And so, you know, he asked me why they could put a man on the moon, but they can't cure his brain tumor. That was what he started with, right? And by then, I was, by the way, only in my 20s, so I was like, and then I asked him this question. I said, how does God fit into all of this that you're experiencing? And I thought it was a basic question. knowing that, you know, he had cards from his church. And, you know, and I'm the chaplain going into there, so he knows that I believe in God. So I thought that was a good conversation, and we talked some more about it anyway. But I presented that to my other ministers that were there, right? And so we're in the classroom, and they read this, and then they start criticizing me and giving me a hard time, you know, all the other ministers. And they told me that I'm not to bring up God unless the other person brings him up first. You know, he should have given me permission to talk about God rather than me just bringing him up. And I was arguing in the class. I said, but here I am a chaplain, and I'm a Christian. He knows that. And I'm talking to a Christian who's got cards about God and is on his board, right? I mean, he's not talking to just anybody here. So it seemed that God would be a friendly topic to talk about if he goes to church and everything. You know, but they still would give me a hard time and say, no, you don't impose your faith on him. You know, and I was convinced that then after that, that they gave into the culture that forbids us to talk about God as if God offends people, right? And so now it's acceptable to kind of, you know, response to say, don't shove your God down my throat, right? That's acceptable behavior now. And we've kind of cowed to that because you're right, so I don't do that. And so we, as God's loving people, know how, where our place is in the world. And we've accepted it. We're not like John the Baptist, who says, there's the Lamb of God, there's Jesus in all of this. We don't, you know, we kind of stopped doing that. We're not pointing out to him. We don't pray in public oftentimes. And now I say that myself because even I sometimes, and I'm the priest, so, you know, I feel that. I'm thinking most others would do it. It's like to say grace at a restaurant. You know, it's kind of like, oof, what are the people going to think about me if I'm one of those religious fanatics or something? We certainly know our place in the schools. We've been told that. We are not to speak about that. Even if a kid wants to talk to us about it, we have to make sure we don't, right? And we can, even in our struggle to teach our children about God, know for sure that we are not allowed to have any more manger scenes anywhere except on our own private property. And even sometimes then we can be offensive to people because it's something that they don't agree with. You know, when we're at our best, we're not only witnesses to our faith in God by being nice, like those who say that they preach by the way of their lives, which is a very good thing because it'd be terrible if we don't. But it's also then enough for us then, rather than also talking about God, pointing God out, speaking about him with a kind of clarity that what we see in the gospel. You know, we're also are to lead others to know God, to have them hear the good news that Jesus preached to the, you know, to the world about salvation and how he takes away the sins of the world. The world needs to hear that. Would you say that you are like John the Baptist? You know, that your life points to, reveals, is a kind of like a sacrament that leads others to find God. Because as Catholics, we are called to be sacramental people. Where when they look at us, and that God would use us, so that then others would find God. Because everything in this world, every part of our lives, should be leading us to God.